Hello, and thank you for joining us here on The Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my partner in crime, my esteemed colleague, and the person that if I have to be 0-2, I'd want to be with this person to get through it. It's my everything. It's at Eric DeLoe.
Phil.
It's a dark day.
Phil, on Thursday, just 3 or 4 morns ago, we talked about a stat that we didn't want to have to bring up.
That's true. We had a special break glass sort of situation.
Yep, in case of emergency, break glass for this stat.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to get to it today because the Broncos have fallen to 0-2 on the season after another one-possession loss, a two-point loss. They've now lost both of their games by a combined 3 points.
Yeah. 0-2 minus 3 points. You're not going to hear that stat very often.
No. I think Pro Football Reference tweeted out that it's Ben Swanson, who we brought him back from Las Vegas.
He made it back. Were you at the game or no?
I was.
Oh, so you made it back in time.
I made it back.
Yeah. How was your journey?
The whole game.
How was your journey?
Arduous. I had to walk.
You walked all the way from Las Vegas. Yeah.
How was the sphere thing?
Really cool.
Good?
Yeah. I heard that is pretty cool.
I painted something and they put it on.
They scanned it in and put it on?
Yeah.
How was the resolution? Or did you paint it really big?
I painted a really large canvas.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah. It's sad that I'm here after a loss, but I'm happy to be on the podcast once again.
Well, I thought he was going to read the stat, but that's fine. I'll read it.
You read the stat.
Since 1966, the Broncos' three-point differential is the best of – it's tied for the best among any 0-2 team, which shows you just kind of how close the Broncos have been here to getting a win.
So if I'm reading that right, the way I sort of look at it is the Broncos are the best 0-2 team of all time.
Well,
I think that's how
you could put it. You could take it that way.
You could read it that way, I think.
I think point differential, sometimes more than record, tends to be a good indicator of how a team's performing. And certainly the Broncos have been right there.
Yes.
You can look at that as a positive. You can also look at that as, man, a couple of winnable home games. You're not able to get either one. Now you're sitting at 0-2. Phil, as we discussed last week, 1 out of 23 teams to start 0-2 over the last 3 seasons since the playoffs expanded to 7 teams in each conference. Only one of them has made the postseason. So certainly some tough odds facing the Broncos here now, early in the season.
To be fair, the point differential is with including a Hail Mary. So
Sure, the point differential includes the points that were scored.
It still counts, but it's a good point. It should be minus 9. Like, should be. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, but I kind of count the points that were scored as part of the point differential.
Oh, so like a Hail Mary is like a normal type of a play. It's a play.
Yeah.
Why don't they run it more?
Well, based on the
success, it's a touchdown maker.
Maybe they could.
Yeah.
They could start doing that.
They have scored a touchdown on every Hail Mary they've thrown this year. So why not? Somebody should have asked Sean, why don't you call that more? You have 100%. You have 100% success rate.
That's true. That's a good point.
Now, we can go ahead and break that glass, okay. Eric.
Awesome. You can mentioned, you go ahead and do that?
I feel like I should have been more
louder,
dramatic.
Yeah, it was louder.
Okay.
Can we open like a can better. Of Coca-Cola? Yeah.
Tennis balls.
That's what it's like. Yeah. Yeah.
That's that new like, tennis ball smell?
Yeah. So I pick that up sometimes when I'm drinking wine. We got a little new tennis ball. I'm picking up that.
Were you getting your
have
wine?
Have you not
You're
seen
that? You're drinking a glass of wine and then smelling a tennis ball?
Have you not seen have you not seen some movie Som? Signs,
right? What are you doing?
There's a movie called Som.
Saw?
Som. Like a sommelier? Som.
Yeah.
Famously in that when they're like Som? Smelling the wine and they're like picking up the notes and then they're like, I'm getting a little new fresh can of tennis ball smell. And they're like, oh, good.
So now you smell tennis balls?
Yeah. Does that mean I'm having a stroke or what does it mean?
Doesn't really seem like something I joke about.
I'm not joking about it. I'm just wondering what you think. Burnt toast.
I don't know.
I'm not a
medical expert.
You're not. So you're not a doctor.
No, I'm not.
Can you? You're not
I'm
what?
Not, I'm not a. I'm not one of those.
Got it. Got it. Okay. But you mentioned since the playoffs have expanded to seven teams per conference,
yep,
just one team has made it. But previously, the Saints, under the guidance of head coach Sean Payton, started 0-2 in, was that 2017?
Yes.
They started 0-2 and went on to make the playoffs and made it all the way to the divisional round.
Yep, they made they won a playoff game. Now we will say, oh, Phil, still not a great.
It's not
odds.
What you wanted to do.
I think he's started 0-2 five times and has made it to the playoffs one time.
Yeah,
but 20% is better than Swanson. What's 1/23?
Yeah, 1/23.
Well, okay, this is time.
This is 4.3%.
Okay. So better. Five times better.
This is really why we have Swanson here. Just provide that. Thank you. Now, we have heard Champagne say, look, this is a race to improve over the first 4 weeks. What areas, Eric, did you see the Broncos improve in this game against the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, offensively, they were much better.
Yeah.
And I know that they went stagnant there a little bit at the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter especially. But the first three drives of the game, that's about as good as you – I mean, it is as good as you can possibly do, right? Three touchdowns in three drives.
First time since 2010, our good friend Tyler, the Broncos PR department, providing that statistic.
Yep. I believe it's the first time they've scored on their opening drive of a game in back-to-back games since 2013. So they're doing some things offensively. They scored 21
starting
points
hot
in the first half for the first time since 2019, that Drew Lock game in Houston when they scored 38. They did some nice things offensively, and I thought it was, you know, they varied personnel packages. They stayed on schedule. They protected Russell Wilson. We saw guys like Marvin Mims and Jaleel McLaughlin get involved. They did some really nice things, and I know that they, you know, it's easy to look at, and I would say this for sure, it's easy to look at the end of the first half where you have a chance to go down and match the Commanders' touchdown, and the first drive of the second half where you get the ball at a halftime leading by seven. Broncos go three and out on both of those drives, which is difficult, and you hope to at least, certainly at the end of the first half, take some time off the clock. But for the most part, Phil, the way they played, I thought was a big step forward. You saw the potential of this offense. They've shown now the ability to have long drives and also short, quick, explosive plays. It's about putting it together and doing it for more than just a quarter and a half. But Phil, the offense, I think Russell Wilson has looked good. Sean Payton obviously has helped this unit take a big jump. There's still some things to clean up, but offensively, this team looks a lot better than it did a year ago.
Yeah. To me, it feels like you're seeing flashes of what could be, but like the margin for error is so small right now that if a few things go wrong, things start going in the other direction in a hurry for this team. But I think for 2 weeks in a row now, we've seen some really exciting flashes. You know, when the Broncos scored those two touchdowns in the first half against the Raiders, you were like, hey, this feels different. It looks different. And then certainly against Washington, it looked and felt a lot different, you know. And the two things that like were on my mind coming out of that Raiders game was, let's see if they can hit some home run balls, some of those deep shots. They did that against Washington. And then, hey, can they generate a pass rush on the defensive side? They had four sacks against Sam Howell. Now, granted, he's making his third career start, so you're like, some of that's on Sam for holding the ball for a little while. But the pass rush did look more promising than it did against the Raiders. So those two things, I saw improvement. But, you know, then there were other times where different problems were popping up. And Sean Payton talked about this after the game. He talked about it on Monday. He said the communication with Russ was an issue. You know, it was taking too long. He said that the way you can sort of correct that is making play calls a little bit more tighter. Maybe it's too much wording, or you go with a wristband, or...
Well, and he was already wearing a wristband.
Oh, he was wearing one yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I don't know if that's changing what's in the wristband or adding
or how it comes in.
But he did have a wristband on yesterday.
Well, so Sean said that maybe using that in a different way, maybe then. But you could definitely tell in the first half they had to burn a couple of timeouts there to it wasn't operating properly. And then that second to last drive before the Hail Mary, they're down 11 points and they get all the way down near the goal line there, but it took a long time. You know, that drive, the sense of urgency wasn't quite what you would have had expected. So that was definitely an issue. And then, of course, the other thing Sean Payton's brought up here is the turnovers. You know, he said that was an emphasis last week on, hey, don't give this team the ball, because when you do, that's how they win games. And then everything was going right for the Broncos, but then they turn. Russ has the fumble there on the scramble. Then Washington goes down and scores on a fourth down play. Before we started recording, I called that a boom boom sort of situation.
Boom boom play.
It was a boom boom play instead of a bang bang. Those two are very similar to me. Boom boom and a bang bang. It's very similar. Then everything changed after that, you know. And then Russ also had the interception in the second half. Didn't look like him and Cortland Sutton were quite on the same page on that play. But those are two new problems that, hey, turning the ball over and then also getting the plays in. Those were two reasons why maybe the Broncos ended up getting the momentum taken away from them the way it did in this game.
Yeah, you know, I think that you can look at this as kind of like granular problems or like super specific issues. Like one of them, of course, is getting off the field on third down as a defense. And Sean Payton talked Monday about how the Broncos are the most penalized team defensively. I think he said 5 personal foul penalties here over the first 2 weeks. And Denver, a couple of those against the Commanders, they're going to be off the field on third down. And then, boom, you've got a defensive holding. You've got a pass interference. The Pat Surtain pass interference. And, you know, Pat is among the best corners in this league.
He is holding
him. But it's third and 12, third and 10, and he's holding him at 5 yards.
Yeah.
And so you think, okay, well, if you give up a 5-yard catch on third and 12.
It's okay.
Who cares? Get off the field. And both of those drives led to touchdowns for the Commanders. And so, you know, I look at that as a kind of a micro, small, granular, like specific problem, tackling, certainly red zone defense, those things all popped up. But then I also look, Phil, kind of bigger picture, and Lloyd Cushenberry talked about this a little bit when we talked to him on Monday. When you're up 21-3, you've got to have that killer instinct and just put a team away.
Yeah.
And the Broncos were up 21-3. Marvin Mims returns a punt, 45 yards?
Yeah.
The Broncos then get a gain. They're at the Commander's 35-yard line, with a chance to make it 24-3 or 28-3. Maybe you don't want to go up 28-3, but
yeah,
but maybe you go for two, you're up 29-3.
There you go.
And at that point, you know, you've taken some more time off the clock. At that point, you figure, okay, the Commanders say, oh, maybe we really don't have a chance here. And you just put that team away. The Broncos, as you mentioned, Phil, the Russell Wilson fumbles a football. Commanders go down the field and score, aided by a face mask penalty, again, a big defensive penalty where it would have been third and 20, and instead it's a first down, and they're now in a position where they can score points. So one, it's not slamming the door shut, stepping on their throat, whatever the idiom you want to use is, but I didn't see that kind of killer mentality of let's put a team away, and then you transition into, okay, by the third quarter, when they've cut it to 7 points at halftime, you go 3 and out to open the game, or the second half. Then you get the feeling of, okay, well, here we go again. You know, does the team then drift into, gosh, you know, we can't get a win. We can't put these guys away. And then it becomes sort of self-fulfilling maybe. But when you talk about learning how to win, Phil, it's got to be, part of it is you're in these close games. You got to figure out how to win the close ones. But you've also got to find a way that when you have a quote unquote easy win there for the taking, you got to find a way to just put the finishing touches on it and get out of there.
And it's possible they were trying to go for that, you know, with the Mims return and then, you know, Russ is scrambling out of the pocket. Like it's possible they were saying, look, let's go out there and just finish this thing now. But then the turnover, that play looked awfully a lot like the near fumble he had against the Raiders the week prior, got saved in that situation by a penalty. But that's what I sort of mean by the margin of error is like, like a one fumble there and then like maybe give up a touchdown shouldn't be enough to just like sort of ruin the whole day, you know. But I think that you're right by saying like you're going into halftime as well as the Broncos playing and as dominant as they were in that first half. When you look up at the scoreboard and you're like just up a touchdown, you're like, wait, what? What just happened? Then it can kind of start to snowball on you there. And, you know, it's interesting to think about, like, what could have happened if the Broncos hold up on fourth down there on that Logan Thomas touchdown. If somehow they're able to prevent that from happening, you know, and then the two-point conversion obviously doesn't happen. And then you're like, maybe that would be enough to maintain the momentum. And then that fumble doesn't look as bad as it does now. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like if a few things go wrong, a holding penalty, a personal foul here or there, other teams maybe can kind of overcome those, but it doesn't seem like right now this Broncos team can do that.
Yeah, and you know, the touchdown was one thing. You cut it to 21-11. It's the ensuing three and out, and then you let them get a field goal where, like, you need to make a play on... That's essentially three consecutive drives where at some point you've got to make a play, or really then you go into the three and out after halftime and the ensuing Washington touchdown to tie it at 21. You've now had a stretch of five drives where someone's got to make a big play at some point. And you've just gone too long. You know, Mike McGlinchey talked about it. We just stalled out for too long. And at that point, you're trying to kick it back into gear, and you just can't get it going. And the teams are good enough in the NFL that if you let them stick around, or you don't put them away, or you give them a little bit of hope, they can come back. And
yeah, and everything sort of started to change for Washington's defense too, because, you know, it did seem like the Broncos were really keeping them off balance. They're hitting those home run balls. The offensive line was playing very well. But then when you start to trail, and Lloyd Cushenberry talked about this on Monday too, is like once the Broncos found themselves down, then they were in obvious passing situations. And all of a sudden that Washington defensive front comes alive. In that second half, it felt like Russ was under duress the entire half. I mean, he was sacked seven times in this game, and that's a serious thing, Eric. Last year, he was sacked 55 times, and for him to go down seven times in one game, that's just way too much, you know? And, you're just not going to win a lot of games that way.
Yeah, and he took a lot of hits that weren't sacks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there were a couple where you're like, is he going to get up? Is he going to be okay?
Yeah. I mean, that is not a good formula being down against those guys. And everything just sort of started to turn against the Broncos. And then somehow they find themselves in a situation where they just need a 2-point conversion and they're forcing overtime here. So, it's just a wild game. I mean, on the postgame show yesterday, I was a little bit like, mystified. I'm like, what even just happened? You know, like it was just such a wild game. You know, you don't see that happen too many times where all of that stuff, you know, is unfolding on the field there where one team is a big, then it changes. And then all of a sudden you hit a Hail Mary and you got a chance. And then, you know, people are going to look at that 2-point conversion, but really the Broncos just should have never been in that spot.
Yeah. And, you know, in fairness to the offense and well, like the situationally, they had four or five consecutive drives there where they didn't get points, where they weren't trailing. They only had they only had one drive where they didn't score when they were trailing. I mean, the Broncos kicked a field goal to go up 24-21, and it kind of looking back on the game, it's easy to forget that they did go back ahead.
Oh yeah,
momentarily, because at the time I was kind of like, wow, maybe they will just shake this off and
stop
get
the
win. And but then Washington goes down the field, scores a touchdown, again, aided by a penalty that you could have gotten off the field. The Broncos go, I believe, three and out or four and out. You know, they maybe picked up one first down. Washington scores again. And that's where, again, defensively, you just have to come up with a stop there and find a way to, hey, you know, you go up 21-3. They found a way to get back in this game, make it 21-21. You've settled down, you've retaken the lead, get a stop and let your offense maybe add to that lead. Or, hey, you've given up a touchdown, the offense can't get points on the board, give them one more chance where it's a 4-point game. And instead, in both of those situations, the Commanders get long touchdown drives And now you're in a scenario where you're down 11 points, you're scrambling, and yeah, could the end of the game gone better in terms of, hey, if you score a touchdown before the two-minute warning and you keep all three timeouts, now you just need a field goal to force overtime. You know, and again, we were kind of talking about this on the way over to record this. Maybe the Commanders played a little bit differently and they're more aggressive instead of running the ball three times. But still, if you have a chance there to score, at the very least, Phil, say you score on that drive, you don't get the two-point conversion. Now you at least know you got to score another touchdown.
Yeah.
And you've got a chance
to
do it instead of needing a two-point conversion or else the game is over. But you're right. There's a lot of little things you can point to. Offensive efficiency and getting in and out of the huddle and getting stops on defense. Obviously, this defense has struggled a little bit here. The screen plays impacted them a lot. But I think big picture, Phil, is just about a team that has, and I know guys have come from winners like Mike McGlinchey and Russell Wilson, but you've got a lot of guys here who have not won consistently at this level. And I think part of this process with Sean Payton is about learning some of these scenarios and learning how to win. And
yeah,
we all kind of hoped that, hey, Sean Payton can turn this around in 1 year. And I'm not saying he can't do that, but this might be more of a process than we thought.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about learning how to win and, you know, maybe that phrase gets tossed out there a lot, but I think it's a lot of the things you just talked about. A lot of little things add up to a big thing. And then you end up losing a game, you know, something even just as small as on that drive right before they kick the field goal at the end of the game. If Russ doesn't take a sack there, they don't have to burn a timeout.
Yep.
And they can just kick the field goal. And instead, it's a sack. You have to waste a timeout. And then that costs them on the other end where, you know, Washington can run the clock there after a third down play. So, like, those things, like right. If you can just, like, clean that up a touch, when you compile that and compound it over the course of an entire game, those are the kind of little things that add up and hurt you.
Right. And they got away with that, right? Because they still scored the touchdown.
Well, yes. But I mean, the Hail Mary is just not going to happen all that time.
Right. But
despite what you think.
I don't think it's going to happen all the time. I think that the bigger issue there was you got to find a way to get in the end zone.
Yeah.
So that you're playing for a field goal.
Yeah, of course. But just having some awareness, being like, I cannot take a sack right here, no matter what happens. Those are things that winning teams just like sort of tend to.
I mean, that particular play didn't end up hurting them, but it certainly
in general
could.
It would. It could. Yeah, exactly. I mean, just things like that. And you know, I thought that the broadcast did a nice job. Adam Archuleta did a great job breaking down some of these things, and even the Brian Robinson touchdown that put him up 11 there. You know, you see Issei Bassey come up, and you know, it's not clear like maybe which gap he's supposed to fill, and that was brought up on the broadcast. Just little things like that over the course of a game will hurt. And in general, the Broncos safeties were doing a lot of tackling. And ideally, you don't want it to get to that level of the defense. So yeah. That's not picking on Easing. I'm saying that happened just across the board. You know what I mean?
Well, and he's not intended to be a safety either,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're playing that because Kareem Jackson is disqualified. Keaton Sturges on IR. PJ Locke's on IR. DeLarian Turner Yell goes out cramping. I mean, you're down to the last guy there.
Yeah.
And certainly losing Kareem hurt the back end. You wonder if that long touchdown from Howell to McLaurin, I think the 30-yarder.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
do
they complete that if K-Jack's back there?
Yeah.
Those are things where obviously you miss guys, but I think the difficult thing with this team is that it doesn't look incompetent. Right.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Like there are teams that are 0-2 and you watch them and you're like, gosh, not a lot of hope for this team. You watch the Broncos and you're like, man, they just put up 21 points really fast against a good defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look like it in the first quarter and a half that Washington was playing particularly well, but they still, I mean, those same guys were still out there, and we've seen that be one of the top defenses over the last few years. They scored at will. They scored quickly. They scored in different ways. And then the defense, like you mentioned, Phil, finally found some pass rush. I think 3 sacks on the first 3 drives.
They definitely improved.
But then it goes away, and you have 1 sack over the remainder of the game. You score, you know, you end up scoring 12 more points. But like you mentioned, 6 of them via Hail Mary at the very end. You just wonder which team is closer to what the Broncos are. If they can be that team that they showed in the first quarter and a half. How do they sustain it more? Because Phil, like we look at this game against Miami right now, which is a good football team, and you got to go down to Miami where it's going to be hot. You have to play through some humidity.
Heat is heat.
But, like, Phil, if they play the way they did the first quarter and a half, you're going to be right in it.
Of course.
With Miami. If you play the way you did over the, you know, especially that those middle two quarters, it's going to be a tough one.
Tougher.
And so which team is closer to what the Broncos are? How do you get more of that first quarter and a half and less of the rest of the game? And how quickly can that transformation take place? Because you said it. That was a glimpse of what a Sean Payton-led team can do.
Yeah.
How quickly can you get there for 60 minutes?
Yeah. The thing about like the offense on those plays, like you can see the scheme. Like you're like, this guy's wide open. You know what I mean? Like things are working that they're trying to do. It's working. And so, yeah, can you get that over the course of a full game? And I think the test against Miami, they're so explosive, Eric, that, hey, if you give up a deep shot to Tyreek, that doesn't mean the game is over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's just one play, you know, being able to forget fast and move on and keep playing hard and being locked in, like that's going to be a big key this week, I think, just going down there. But you're right. It's not like you look at this matchup and you're like, there's no chance. You know what I mean? You've seen enough here where you're like, okay, this was really good. Okay, let's see if they can keep this going on both sides of the ball, Eric. Yep. You know, like to hold the Raiders just to 17, you know, you're like, oh, okay, well, if the offense can just score more, you'll be better. Then the next week, it's sort of the reverse. And now maybe if they could just do both of those things, Eric.
Wow.
That's the analysis you come to expect.
Be good on offense, be good on defense.
Do those two things.
You win.
Like, for example, you could think about it this way. If the Broncos score 33, like they did against Washington, and then the defense holds Miami to 17, like they did against the Raiders.
Yep.
If I think I'm right about this, the Broncos will win that game.
They would. That's true. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's really all I spit.
You know, I think that you've just got to find a way to play like you did at the beginning. And I think that it's easier said than done, obviously. But if you're Sean Payton or you're talking to your guys in the locker room, it's not about belief without seeing, right? You can point to that and say, hey, we've seen what we can do. We can play like this. We've just got to do it more consistently. And so right now everyone's, of course, down in the dumps. You're 0-2. The odds are not in your favor in terms of making the playoffs. But you find a way to play at that level and go down and upset Miami, and all of a sudden,
boom.
you're back in it, right?
Boom, boom.
Right back in it. Because I think before the year, Phil, we probably would have said, you know, hey, you've got winnable games against the Raiders and Washington at home. Dolphins game, probably a tough one on the road. But, you know, you reverse course really fast if you can find a way to get one there. And it's just about playing at the level that they're potentially capable of, that we've seen and doing it for a stretch. But, you know, you don't have to tell these guys, like, oh, just, like, believe that you could possibly do it. They can see on
they
tape
can see it.
That they've done it.
They've seen glimpses of it.
Yeah. And it's just about putting it together for a more extended period of time.
I'll say this, Eric. I've tweeted things over those first two games where later on in the game, somebody's replied later and was like, that didn't age well.
Yeah. Well, what are you tweeting?
That's twice now. Really smart.
Careful.
Very smart. I was like, Russ looks really comfortable because he did look comfortable.
Yeah.
But then someone said that it aged like hot milk.
Hot milk.
Which I thought people liked hot milk.
Like a cappuccino. Like,
yeah. You know, or like maybe before bedtime you have a nice, it's like warm milk, you know, put you to bed.
Yeah.
I don't personally do that, but I thought that's what
some people
a lot of people do that. Yeah. Warm milk, I think, is supposed to put you to sleep.
Mm. You put me to sleep.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's interesting. I'm the one who's normally saying things incorrectly, but hot milk, aged like hot milk is not. I don't think that's a saying.
I think you could be right there.
I also had a nice little tweet about Russell Wilson.
That was poorly timed.
40,000 yards passing, 5,000 yards rushing, first ever to do that.
You tweeted that.
I got destroyed.
Three and out, right?
I got destroyed.
Yeah,
the Broncos country came after me. They didn't all like
the room, Phil.
Yeah, some awareness.
Right.
You thought that was going to blow up, huh? You're like, this tweet is going to do numbers.
No, I didn't think that.
It did. It's been a bad way.
Yeah, you know what happened is I had that sort of prepped, ready to go, because I was like, this could happen in the game. And then it happened. I was like, okay, sweet. Fire it off.
Yeah, you got to be aware.
But it happened at a bad time.
That's like the player like doing a crazy touchdown celebration when you're down 30 points. It's just like, save that one for next week.
Yeah. Work on it. Save it. Perfect it.
Yeah.
But I can't save that for next week.
No. But you could have tweeted it like the next day. Hey, yesterday.
Hey, that was a nice moment. Yeah.
Russell Wilson did this.
Yeah.
I saw you apologize for it.
Yeah, I said my timing could have been better.
Never apologize.
Yeah, I should have. You can't get me on this.
Weakness. Yeah.
Yeah. No weakness.
Yeah, Phil, I do watch this team and I see, and I know we're kind of harping on the same thing here, but I see that it's capable of more, especially offensively, than it has been in quite a while. Just in terms of the ability to score points.
Mims. It was like driving on the weekend.
Yeah, it was that highway was wide open. The read option play with Russ, kind of on a third down there, was beautifully drawn up.
Yeah.
Jaleel McLaughlin with the Adkins and the Burton and the Manhurts. I mean, there were some really nice plays down there where you're like, ooh, Sean Payton's cooking a little bit. He's in his bag, as the kids would say.
Oh, in his bag, yeah.
And you watch that and you're just like, that's been missing here for a while.
Yeah.
And when you're doing things that haven't been done since 2013, which of course is when Peyton Manning was playing some pretty good football, you're like, that probably means the offense is doing a good job. Thing. I think defensively, the key is, can you make big plays? You know, you don't have to be perfect. You know, maybe it's not a 2015 defense that's dominant and just great at all times. I know that was maybe the expectation, not to the 2015 level, but to be a really dominant, strong defense. But can you make plays, like in the first half, a sack on third down? Or a
get off PBU the field. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's going to be about for this defense. Can you just make a key play on third down? Can you avoid some penalties? Because the penalty yardages, especially the personal foul, has really hurt this defense. But can you keep playing offense at this level and get these plays and then make timely plays on defense? I think that's the recipe for finding some wins. And I don't think that that's something that's unattainable here, right?
No, I mean, the mistakes that we've seen, I think, are very correctable, you know. But I thought that Sean, after the game, was really, he didn't hold back, really. He was, like, very honest about his assessment of how the defense played. And they're going to have to get that, corrected.
Yeah, as he put it, we're going to play a lot better offenses than the Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
Starting this week.
Yeah, I mean, you got Tua, Tyreek, down in Miami. Jalen Waddle, as we record this, is currently in concussion protocol. We'll see what goes on with him. But you got Mahomes twice on the schedule. You go to Buffalo with Josh Allen. You play Justin Herbert twice. I mean, there's some guys you got coming up that are going to be difficult to play against. And so, listen, do you need to hold everybody to 10 points? No. But can you... You know, if the Broncos have to win games 27-24 or 30-27, can you make a big play when it matters? You know, and we saw that in the first half, right? They got big sacks or Josie Jewell has a PBU on third down and sets up the field goal attempt that gets missed. I mean, those were big plays, and it just unfortunately didn't continue into the second half.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, but you've got to find a way to make those key plays, because that's what, like, look at Miami's defense, for example, last week. And obviously, Vic Fangio is there now.
Yeah.
They played the Chargers. They gave up
a lot of points.
They gave up a lot of points. But last drive, when Justin Herbert needed to go and score to win the game, they sacked him. They got to him. And they made that big play. And I feel like you see that with, you know, the Chiefs don't have a dominant defense.
But in a big moment.
In big moments, they come up big and make a play. I mean, certainly we saw that twice last year in games against the Broncos.
Yep.
You know, Chris Jones comes up with a big sack of Russell Wilson in a key moment.
Yeah.
That's what, in the NFL, I feel like teams that win more often than not are not these dominant defenses that never give up any points with low-scoring offenses. It's a good offense with an opportunistic defense. And can the Broncos get to that point? They're going to need to.
And I think if you look at that unit as a whole, there's playmakers out there.
There's talent.
You know, but good offenses are going to attack your weakest point. And, you know, you just sort of have to, as a unit, get better, you know, and as a team, pick each other up and make sure that everybody's being held accountable. And
I mean, I guarantee Mike McDaniel's going to take shots down the field and test your safety depth.
Yeah, most definitely.
He's going to run screen plays and see if you have you figured out
can
how to stop
this?
That.
Yeah. I'm with you, Eric. I think big picture wise, I think I sort of thought, okay, you had two winnable games at home, but I always sort of figured this is going to be a process. And with Sean reiterating, hey, 4 weeks, we're going to have to get in better and better and better. It made you feel like, okay, this is going to be a process. And I think that if the Broncos, I think the hard thing is when you're losing, you can lose that buy-in and then it can go off the rails. But if the Broncos can keep this all together and keep improving each week, this team's going to get better and better and better and it's going to be all right. You know, so like it's just a matter of like staying on the right path and still working hard and keeping your head down and realize, look, this is just too
typing.
Typing, it's important. So Swanson does a lot of typing.
Yeah.
But that's the big thing. Improving, getting better, staying on the right track here. Because I think that changing the narrative and changing the mentality and changing the culture, it takes big moments and it takes big wins and it takes comebacks. It just takes a lot of different things to come together and it's a process.
Yeah. I mean, for Washington, like if you're over there, you're like, Sam Howell just led us on a big comeback. This is the spark we need to do something. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, a
takes
team
moments
that's building
like that.
Up needs a moment like that.
Yeah.
And certainly had the Broncos completed that 2-point conversion, find a way to get in overtime, we could be sitting here talking about, man, the Broncos dodged a bullet there, but how about that resilience to come back
exactly.
and win a football game?
The whole narrative would be completely different.
I do think that the way this football team has played, Phil, it's not like you look at some teams around the league that are 0-2. They've not been in these games. They've not had a chance to win. The Broncos are certainly playing well enough that they could have won both of these football games and been at 2-0.
And there's young guys you're excited about. I think,
of course.
You know, there's like Marvin Mims. You're like, okay,
Nick Bonino played well.
That looked good. Nick Bonino played well. Jaleel McLaughlin like found the end zone again. You're like, oh, this kid, they got some pieces here that like you're still learning about them. But I think there's enough to be encouraged about here with this team that just keep working, keep getting better, keep improving. And eventually the narrative and the mindset will change.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I've said for a long time, this is one of their toughest games on the schedule to go down to Miami. So I don't know if they're able to get it done this week, but certainly Phil, if you're talking about playoffs now, you've got to steal one or two somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Because you felt like counting towards say 10 wins, you count the ones at the beginning of those two at the beginning of the season, you've got to steal one here, but then Phil, say you go down there and you play a great game and you play like you did in the first quarter and a half and you get a win in Miami. Then you've got a winnable game in Chicago and then you come home and the Jets have a really tough defense. But
you love the schedule.
Well, I'm just saying that like
it's
you're there. Just, you're just like one or two game. You're one game
it's
away from things breaking the right way and having a chance. Yeah. And, you know, maybe it doesn't happen this week, but you get some momentum later on this in the season. And can you use that? I think now that I've seen that first quarter and a half, you're going to know that's there. That
it's
possibility
there.
Is
it's there,
there, especially offensively. And when you can move the ball like that on offense and score like that on offense against a good defense, you're always going to have a chance. And it might not be for four quarters right away. It might take some time. But clearly they have that ability to scheme things up.
Yeah.
They've got one of the better play callers in the entire NFL. And that's going to give you a chance. And that you say, hey, it might be one of the hardest games of the season to go play the Chiefs in Arrowhead or something. But if you can score the football like that,
you can win any game.
You can win any game. And so that is, and it doesn't mean they're going to win every game. And it doesn't mean that it might not be a little tough stretch to start, but you've got that potential. And I think that's encouraging because when it's the other way around and you've got a dominant defense, but an offense that cannot score, it's tough to look at some games and be like, we've got a chance here. But as long as you've got an offense that can score, I think you're going to find yourself in a lot of games.
And I liked what Sean Payton had to say after the game. He was like, look, I can only control how we do this week and how we prepare for the Dolphins. Like, not looking backward.
1-2.
That's a mindset you got to have. And I think that for this team, it's going to be important to block out the noise. I do think that the fan base, it's easy to just be like, here we go again.
Yep.
You know, this team's going to have to block that noise out. They're going to have to really be locked in. And really, it's just about improving. And we talk about big win, you know, or a comeback or something that can really give you that spark. That could be this weekend, you know, like the writing is there.
Yeah.
So, you know,
win in Miami, that's a great win.
That would be a huge win, and it could really change the mindset. And I think that that's going to be what this Broncos team is going to have to be about, is staying together, staying mentally strong. You know, Sean Payton's not been around here these last several years where, oh, here we go again, that kind of thing. He's not been a part of that, but he's aware of what it is. You know, he knows that this team hasn't been where it needs to be. And so he's going to have to keep these guys locked in and block out that noise.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's teams, Phil, that get off to tough starts. Eagles a couple years were 3-5, 3-6, found a way to make a little bit of a run. You never know what can happen. I mean, the Broncos
have
the Chiefs twice before the bye. They got the Dolphins, but and even if you get to the bye and you're looking at 3-5 or something, and hopefully they're in a much better spot than that. But if you're looking at something like that, there's nothing to say you can't get hot if you continue to work toward playing the type of football you did at the beginning of the game for a much larger portion of it. And you're going to face better offenses. You'll face some defenses that aren't as good as the one you just played. And let's just see where things go. I'm not ready to, I know, despite all the history of 0-2 teams and blah, blah, blah.
Don't write them off.
Not ready to mail it in quite yet here. It's week two. You
know? And look, like, they showed the ability to correct things. The deep shots, the sacks. Yeah. Okay, they worked on that. They're better this week about it. This week, work on those things, get better about it, and start stacking the improvement.
And think the last few years, Phil, you go down 11, it's over.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
For the most part, I would have to look that up, but the amount of times the Broncos have gone down double digits in the fourth quarter and made it close, it cannot be.
Yeah, but they still hung in there. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it took longer than you wanted on that drive, but they got the field goal. They got a 3-and-out. I think the second of the day, maybe. They might have had one more, but you get a 3-and-out and give yourself a chance. And granted, it took a miracle play to get in the end zone, but they did it. And Phil, I'll tell you what, for people that think, hey, that was just entirely lucky,
They've worked on the Hail Mary so much. Yes.
In the offseason. I can't tell you the number of times we've stood out there and Sean Payton has been out there saying, under this situation, here's where you try to catch Hail Mary. In this situation, go here. Here's what the defense should do. Here's what is going to happen if this guy rolls here. You know, I mean,
they've worked
on it a lot. And so that, to me, was a situation. The same with the onside kick that was
almost a good kick attempt.
They've worked on that a lot. And so that's where the preparation pays off. And I just think the resilience of, hey, we're down 11, but let's keep fighting. That was good in a way that it hasn't often been
the
last few years.
I would say, like, if you're looking at Hail Marys, a lot of times you just see like a bunch of wideouts just run down there and collect in the end zone and wait for it to drop in. Being a little bit shorter there creates room for the tip.
Yep.
And almost every successful onside kick, Hail Mary, the ball gets tipped up just once. That's all it takes is one tip up in the air, and then it's a free for all. Right. So,
and great coordination by Brandon Johnson, who grabbed it with one hand.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what he does.
That was good.
Yeah. Unless you got Calvin Johnson out there.
Right.
Or if Aaron Rodgers is throwing it, you know.
It's true. Then you just catch it.
Different situations. So. But for most successful Hail Marys, there's a nice little tip there. That was nice.
It's just, if you're a Broncos fan, if you watch this team over the last however many years since the Super Bowl, Broncos, you're probably feeling very conflicted, because on the one hand, you're thinking, man, it looks better in a lot of ways. Obviously, the defense needs to play at a higher level. But you're thinking, man, the offense finally looks better. This team actually looks like it could do something. And yet you're 0-2.
Yeah.
And so how do you kind of have those things coexist in a way that
Yeah. Happens. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm confused a lot of the time.
Well, I don't think that's the only reason, but
oh,
that's part of it, I would assume.
Eric, I don't know if you've been able to see me very well,
oh
just because I got this
eyes hurt.
I got this huge ring on.
What is
on
that?
Me here? This is a Super Bowl 33 ring.
That's from when you were the ball boy.
I was going to say maybe I could sell this to you for $1 million if you're interested.
You drop it to like $750, I could be interested.
How does it look?
Looks just like Steve's.
Yep,
it's pretty nice.
Yeah,
where'd you get that?
It was on my desk when I got here.
Wow, that's nice.
I think that they handed these out to some fans this weekend.
So. First 25K fans, I think, got one of those replica rings.
Yeah.
Get you one of these.
Get you one of these. Where's yours at, young fella?
Exactly.
Super Bowl 33 team, a lot of members were out there.
A lot of guys. You know? Duke coming out.
Yeah.
Holding up
Gave
the
it to Bubby.
I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I wish they could have seen a win.
I know. We've now had
nice.
A few of those in a row. Huh?
A couple of alumni weekends year, where that didn't go well. So.
Shanahan the year before that.
That's true. Yeah, when Shanahan went in, yeah, that's they got to get this thing on track when those guys are here.
Yeah, it kind of all goes back to what Sean Payton said that one.
Good
time,
teams
right?
win.
Good teams win on alumni weekend, right? It's not because it's a one alumni weekend, but because they're good.
That is true. It's interesting because you talk to a lot of those guys from that team and just like the mentality and the confidence. Like that's just sort of, it's easy to do that now. And obviously as time goes by, you know, over 25 years, some of the stories get a little bit bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not exactly how it happened, but it sounds good though.
It sounds really good.
But one thing's for sure, that team had a lot of confidence and a lot of swagger, you know, and you know, when you win, you can feel that sort of confidence and, you know, you just think about this year's team and where it can get to and how it can improve and build. You just wonder if, hey, if they're able to get a couple of these things and get the confidence going, maybe by the end of the year, this team can have some of that confidence and some of that swagger. You know, maybe have Coach Prime come down here and be like, this is how you...
He was at the game yesterday.
Deion was?
Yeah.
I didn't... Did they show him?
No. He posted from inside his box or Shador or somebody posted. He was at the game.
So if I got this correctly, Champ was there,
Deion
was there, and Pat was there.
Yep.
Why are you laughing?
Pat can confirm that Pat, the Broncos cornerback, was at the game.
Yeah, and Champ was there.
Champ was there.
That's Aqib Talib was there, I think. I saw.
That's true.
That's a lot of talent at one position.
Champ said Pat's on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
I saw that Pat was wearing the Champ t-shirt.
He did DT last week.
Pretty sweet.
It seems like maybe he's picking a legend each week.
Oh,
no,
smart week to pick. Yeah, what if he had a Ben Swanson?
Yeah.
Well, we got to get him one of those.
That'd be cool for me, I think.
Miami, if he wears like his dad's.
Yeah. And of course, he knows Waddle very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
American heritage.
The four of us.
And also Alabama.
That's also right.
Yeah.
And from when you guys all hung out
there.
Yeah,
we all hung out.
Oh, yeah. Was Waddle there? Yeah, he was. That was a back home. Check it out.
Back home.
That's true. Some people like get Pat for like one day a week, right?
Yeah. Where would they get him?
Like, say that was like a Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay. Where?
At a bar.
Okay.
Yeah. They go to a bar. Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but we follow. We went back home and like hung out like for a whole day.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of diff.
It was diff.
All right. Well, we'll be back on Thursday. We got to break down this Miami game. We're going to break it down. We're going to break it down.
Good team.
It's a good team.
Tua is the MVP favorite currently.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's going to be some Broncos overlapping connections, you know,
Bradley
with
Chubb.
Miami. Bradley
Victor.
Chubb. Victor. Even Vance Joseph spent a year down in Miami. So there's some overlap with these two teams, you know. So
George Payton.
That's true. Yeah, I was a scout down there. Yeah, so it's a big one.
It's Kevin Harlan on the call.
Really?
I think so.
Is that true?
I think so.
I don't know.
Wow. There he goes. That's awesome. That's very exciting. That's very exciting. I'm looking forward to that. All right, well, that's going to do it for us for Ben Swanson. Hey, welcome back.
Thanks. This was a delight.
Let's try to not get on the wrong plane.
Yeah.
I hope all the fans enjoyed my lengthy.
We should give a shout out to Tom Agnetti. I hope that he's doing okay. Well, his wife is a huge Commanders fan.
Sorry,
Tom. He commented last week. He said if the Broncos lose this one, he'll be out in the woods with Swanson.
I didn't agree to that.
So, all right, Swanson, get going.
You've managed to make your way back in. Maybe you cross paths with him.
Yeah.
You're coming in. He was going to.
I'm clocking in, or I'm clocking out. He's clocking in.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Somebody's got to watch the woods. Yeah. So it's a big job. Anyway, Tom, we're thinking about you. We're thinking about you. For Eric Dahl, I am Phil Milani. You've been listening to
The Neutral
Zone. Listen up, Denver Broncos fans. Paramount Plus is your streaming home to catch every local NFL on CBS game this season. Visit ParamountPlus.com to start your free trial and stream Russell Wilson and the boys as they battle the league's best. Plus, get an all-access pass to 24/7 NFL content with CBS Sports HQ, Fantasy Football Today, NFL Slime Time, and more. And this year, Paramount Plus is your streaming destination for Super Bowl 58. Another action-packed Broncos season with the NFL on CBS awaits. So stream Paramount Plus from any device all season long.